You know, London, 8, 9 million people. You know, there are about 1 million people from a South Asian background. And our friend, our brother in Riyadh, do I need to be a bit sensitive about talking about religions in this call? Is there a sensitivity to that?
No, you're okay. You're okay.
Okay, brilliant. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I want to just ask about that. So, you know, Southall, it is home to, well, it's really the heart and soul of the South Asian community. It's like the little India of what it, in West London, which is India pretty much. So London, 8 million people, about 1 million of those 8 million are South Asian background. And about 500,000 of those are in West London from Hounslow up to Harrow. So there's this quarter there, and our company, which is called Surge, we're partnering with the International Presbyterian Church, the IPC, to church plant there. And so the first church was planted in Southall. That's the one I was at, New Life Mussigar. So obviously Mussigar sounds like a cult, doesn't it? New Life Mussigar. Mussi is Hindi for Messiah, and Gar is Hindi for house. So essentially it's New Life Church or New Life House, House of Jesus, House of Messiah. So in 2004, the church then had just been around for 4 or 5 years. It was early days, and it was really great to be a part of that and to serve in that community. Seeing, you know, over the years, lots of people have come to faith from Muslim, Hindu, Sikh background, discipling folks and building them up in the faith, figuring out how to do worship. In that context, how to do language, how to preach, you know, what do you do when people come in whose English is really poor? All those issues. I just really enjoyed all that. A highlight of recently, in 2018, this guy, Sonny Judge from a Sikh background, he went to London Seminary and, he was ordained in our denomination. And at that point, we were looking there are three of us pastors and this church that's fairly small, about 50 members, and our denomination was kind of looking at us like, what are you guys doing? Like, why do you have three guys there? We really didn't need three pastors. And so our leadership group, our session, we began to think about church planning, and that really has led me to be with you all now, in that about a year ago, my wife and I, and another colleague of ours with CERD, with our company, American Missionary, we've began to really explore in earnest what it mean to plant in Hounslow. And so Andy, would now be a good time to kind of show that little video?
Let me see if I can do that.
So to set it up while he's looking at that, we, you know, during lockdown, you know, what do you do during lockdown? Well, you get all your backend stuff and your internet stuff up and running. So here's a little video we put together of me and Hounslow just talking about this Hounslow church plant. I'll give you guys just a feel for that, what that area looks like.
Great. Just send a message on the chat if you can't hear this, but hopefully this will work.
Welcome to Hope for Hounslow. My name is Barry, and in the coming year, we're hoping to start a new church right here in Hounslow. But for now, we want to help you find real hope in an age that is so desperately in need of good news. You know, when you look around Hounslow, you see lots of change coming to this area. Some might say that hope is coming in the form of new buildings and new jobs and new businesses and all the new people that will be moving into this area. And while these changes are indeed good, they don't actually address the greater problems that we as a society face. But there is one who has. We believe that true hope, real hope, can be found in Jesus. This site exists to help you find resources in order that you could discover the true story of Jesus. Learn about his mission to save this rebellious runaway world. and live in the hope that he offers. If you find this helpful and would like to talk further, or if you'd be interested in helping us start a new church in Hounslow, please be sure to contact us through the link on this site below.
All right, well, there it is. So we're at the moment, our gathering, we're gathering under the name of Hope for Hounslow. That definitely won't be the name of the church. That was just the kind of the name we put together a year ago as we were trying to get a website together, largely to do a Christmas outreach a year ago during lockdown. But it's kind of works for us as a gathering name. So where are we at the moment? Well, I'm not really sure, to be honest, in terms of like stages of church plant, I think we're gathering a core group. We had a meeting we launched our core group as I guess that's the right church planning terminology. Perks and Andy, you can correct me if I'm wrong on these things. But our first meeting was back in November. We had 16 come along, and about half of those said, "Yeah, we love what you're doing, and really want to be part of it." And I was pretty jazzed by those who came along. Lovely young woman from a Muslim background. Who we knew from the mother church, from New Life Masigar, but who never wanted to lock in with New Life Masigar, but the Lord's been at work in her, and she wants to be with us. Another family, English family, wanted to come along. Two Asian families said, "Yeah, we like what you're all about, but we're not quite there yet." The Asian families, the dad was kind of a traditional Indian Christian. But the wives were Hindu converts. So that was pretty neat. So that was, we had that event. And then we did another thing, American Thanksgiving, actually, end of November, and 40 came along for that, which was great. And then just this Sunday, we did our third thing, which was a Christmas carol sing stroke coffee house. And we had 50 come along for that. And that was really encouraging. More folks we know who we think are interested came along. For me, some of the highlights, one highlight was Alex Brito referred on someone, a young Hindu guy who's moved into the Hounslow area. And he came along and he brought along his atheist friend, and they were planning to come. In fact, they did come, but the atheist friend freaked out when he got outside and refused to come in because it was really bizarre. He was like traumatized. Like, I just can't go and I can't be a part of that. That for me, guys, is my experience of just doing ministry in London amongst unreached peoples, that you just get these really weird things. Someone who would profess to be very open-minded and yet very clearly was bothered by the truth claims of the gospel and was closing a door there. And so he wants to meet later. So this week I'm going to meet up with both those guys. So this Hindu guy who's kind of, who's been around Friends International in Leicester, moved to Hounslow, living with this atheist British guy, and we're going to meet up with them. That was pretty cool. And then the other thing that was really also pretty interesting, Lindsay, my colleague, she invited along some of her flatmates, not flatmates, but people who live in her apartment complex. And this gay guy came along, and he was, I mean, very, very expressive, but very enthusiastic and very excited, and wants to meet up with my family. And so, you know, just that collection of people who came out, we had Hindus and we had Muslims and we had people from Christian background, with somebody who's a homosexual, professed atheist, just all that mix of people together, singing Christmas songs, hearing a short gospel presentation. It's really what enthuses me about doing ministry in London. Andy, we'll queue up. We've also did a little video, from that time. And I think the reason I wanted to show it was that it, it kind of shows you a little bit of our how we kind of do music and culture. And that Lindsay, who's singing, obviously American, we're singing traditional Christmas carols, but we hired a tabla player, and the tabla are Indian drums. And that sound of the fusion of East-West sound, just, I find it really beautiful, but, and hopefully the video will show that, but also it just sends a message. I think it sends a right cultural message that all are welcome here, that the music sends sends cultural signals that no, you know, if you are East, you're West, you belong, you're welcome. And I think that's a message that, especially for people from an Asian background, you know, our Asian friends, when they come into church, especially if they're unbeliever, they really are asking the question, is there someone here who's like me? And so, you know, in a lot of people's conversion stories, that's issue number one. And they come into a church where there are other Asians, and that's what they're looking for. And when they see that, and especially when they see that up front, that is a really powerful apologetic. So Andy, why don't you cue,
sure,
cue that if you could. That's probably good there.
Cool. Should I do the bit right at the end, which is great? Should I just do the last bit?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, sure. Well, there it is. So the guys, that was hot off the presses, as it were. That was our Christmas carol outreach on Sunday night. So yeah, so we hired out this coffee shop that has it's far more hipster than would definitely be our vibe in Hounslow. Hounslow really is a very poor, very raw. The high street has loads of 10p, 99p shops. You know, it's a and this cafe it's the next town over in Isleworth, and it's kind of the hipster coffee shop, but it works. They're one of the few places we can find to meet, and they're happy to hire it out. So we like that. Everyone who comes along, they really like, they, you know, that's the first thing they say, like, this is a great place to do church. And we have thought, well, maybe we should stay on there, but our heart really is to be right on the high street. And so that I think for things to pray for, a location definitely is one of them, preferably on the high street. There's space on the high street. Starbucks just closed, strangely enough. The Starbucks was always doing well, that closed, and we're trying to figure out how to get in there. Perhaps like what's called a meanwhile capacity, where you can find these abandoned buildings and talk to the owner and say, listen, and you have plans for it, obviously, but in the meanwhile, while it's empty, could we come in and use your space? And so we're exploring those options. All the churches have said no to us. All the schools have said no to us. The community halls are all just in terrible shape. And my wife has said no to that. So we're out a bit, still looking around. But here's our hope, that we could start something regular, I guess, regular meetings of the core team in January. And so I think, you know, so we had 50 come. I'm guessing at the core meeting in January, we'll probably be back down to about 10 to 15. And that's really what we're looking at. A lot of those folks who came along, like, you know, as you know, were unbelievers or friends who wanted to support, or we even stole a few people from New Life Mossy Guard to help just add numbers and support it. So 50 isn't a real indication of where we're at, but we're excited. So Hounslow is this poor immigrant community, first place lots of immigrants move to. Right now there's a huge, I don't know how all you know immigration to London, but it seems like there's a new wave of immigration from India coming. We're meeting loads and loads of students. And so it seems like the government is giving out loads of student visas because we're meeting lots of young students who are spending money going to British schools. And then also in the flats in Hounslow, there are loads of IT workers who are there for a couple years. And then there are loads of British Asians who've been here for 50 years. And so, you know, so that's kind of our mission field. Obviously, the British Asians are the people who are going to be the bedrock, long-term bedrock of the church, because they're going to stay. Everyone else is very transient. But what we love about the transient thing is that London is a launching pad for the gospel to the nations, and you really can reach people now, and they go home, you know, with the gospel, and that's a real thing, and we've seen that, and that's really exciting. And so another prayer request would be that the Lord would build His church and call people to Himself in this community, and that we'd see people come to faith and would become a part of our church, or would go on back home to where they come from, most likely India or Pakistan, and would bring the gospel there. So those are some ways to pray for us. Space and just building up the core team hopefully through evangelism, and then through numbers and space are where we're at right now, really.
So thank you. Just to clarify on that core team, so you got 10 to 15 Christians you'd anticipate being sort of committed to that, and that's coming from so obviously your family, Lindsay, a few yep. from Massagar.
We're not taking any from New Life Massagar. They're a bit at 50, they're a bit fragile, and that was kind of our agreement of church planning out of New Life Massagar, is that we wouldn't. It was more my conviction. I didn't want to take anyone. And part of it, I didn't want to rock the boat or play games of, are you with Barry or not with Barry and all that. I just kind of wanted to leave all that. And so we just kind of made a blanket statement. We're not going to take anyone, in part because we're planting like right next door, honestly. So from Heston, where the church is, to Hounslow, it's only a mile. Very few people from Hounslow actually go to the mother church, but some could go. And we just thought, you know what, let's just kind of draw a line in the sand and not take anyone. So they're mostly people we know who are that 15 and Andy, they're believers we know who are mostly we know them through our daughter's school, but have our believers who've kind of stopped going to church due to COVID time, or who are interested, or believers who we know who for whatever reason have stopped coming to the mother church for a long time, not like a year, but like 5 years, you know, who I've reconnected with. So I'm doing a men's Bible study, two guys from a Sikh background who I've known for ages. They're real keen on this new church. And then this Muslim convert lady who Lindsay's been discipling, and then families we know, mostly through the school.
So it's quite an ethnic mix within that, even within that sort of 10 to 15.
It is, yeah. It's predominantly South Asia, but even within the difference, you know, the different ethnicities of South Asian. But yeah, with English, two Brazilian families, English family, three South Asian families, and then converts from Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism. So it's a pretty wide variety of people.
And in terms of evangelism, I mean, and that is fantastic, that event, and to get that sort of 50 there. What's your sort of plan for the next 6 months in terms of events, kind of one-to-one stuff? You know, is that sort of, are you mainly looking to sort of organic relationships or street stuff or a series of events?
Our approach is probably everyone's, but it's all of the above, to be honest. So we do a lot of the same stuff that that Alex does, book tables and street ministry. I love it. We think it's a great way to train people. So we actually are bringing people from America over all the time to do evangelism. In the South Asian context, what I tell people is that in the South Asian context, the only people who think this is culturally inappropriate are Westerners. Because in the Asian context, religion is a matter for the public sphere, you know, and that's true in Hinduism. And it's especially true in Islam. And so the only people who are weirded out by talking about Jesus and religion in a public space are us, because we've been conditioned by secularism. And so as soon as we get over ourselves, you know, as soon as we get past those fears, we really can depend on Christ and be bold in sharing the gospel. And so the street stuff is really great in our context. And we do meet people that way, but it's not I try at least not to do, you know, just give them the gospel and be done with it, but to share the gospel and to hopefully seek to get a phone number and build a relationship. So we do that sort of thing, and door to door knocking. Just last week, we met someone knocking doors who we're going to follow up with, who's real interested. And then events, we're probably going to do, we haven't planned our year out ahead, but do something in the new year, early January, kind of on the new year. We might actually go back to that cafe and do something there about, you know, thinking about the new year and praying in the new year. And so events, and then, yeah, relationship. And I think where we are in the core team right now, a lot of that will be relational work, and those, especially kind of the families that are interested, but still are checking us out. I'm hopeful we'll have them over at our house through Christmas season and just build stronger relational bonds with those folks, and cast vision too of what we want the church to be.
That's great. I was just wondering whether, I mean, this is a huge area, but I was just wondering if you could just give us 5 minutes on this issue of how you would orientate someone coming over from the US, for example, in terms of just thinking about, don't do this when you're sort of engaging with South Asian cultures. Without wanting to be kind of, you know, reduce a hugely complex issue into kind of very small thing. But I mean, just for all of us, if we've, you know, we're probably going to, all of us have South Asian friends, contacts, people walking into church. Are there some things that you've been learning over the last few years that you think, oh, this is a common mistake, like, let's just don't do this, or these are some just like really obvious cultural faux pas we want to kind of avoid, or things that are helpful in terms of just engagement? Yeah, just wondering if you could sort of, yeah, just kind of a really simple first steps for orientation.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Asian culture in general, and this would be from Chinese, Japanese, Korean, all across through India, Pakistan, and even into the Middle East, you know, it's an honor and shame culture, and it's a relational culture. And so to me, this is in a nutshell, you know, especially as an American, but this is probably true for us as Westerners. You know, when we have something to do, that takes precedence, right? And so here's me, you know, newly arrived to the UK. I come into church, I'm carrying a box, right? A box of books, and I'm on a mission to take that box of books, say to the storage area, right? So I'm carrying the box of books. I think in the West, we would look at Barry bringing the box of books, and we say, oh, he's busy, he has something to do, and he'll go put that down, and then he'll come, and he might greet us, right? But in the Asian context, what is culturally expected of me would be to stop what I'm doing and work the room and greet everybody, right? And why? Well, because that's the way you honor people, and because relationship matters more than project. And so I've had to learn to just stop what I do and to slow down and to be and to relate. And I think that in a nutshell is really it. And And then with honor, it comes, you know, age is appropriate. So you greet the older person first, you know, and you show honor to them. The older people, it's easy to remember who they are because they're all uncle and auntie. And so you call, you know, anyone who's older than me by about 10 years, I just call them uncle. And that's just a great way to kind of show honor and show love and show appreciation for older people. And I there's something very biblical and very right and good about that, I think, that we've lost in Western culture. And I think there's something right and good even about just stopping what we're doing, putting the box of books down and greeting people. And so I find I've healed and I've grown as a person by being in this Asian context. I've learned that the project can wait and the person in front of me is important, and that's who's there now. So I want to honor them. So I think that's in a nutshell. There's loads of other things that could be said, but Andy, I think that's really in a nutshell.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Let's open the floor now to any questions, comments, thoughts, you know, questions about the church and the context that Barry's in. Do you fire in questions?
Really enjoyed the tabla carols. Fantastic. I used to know an evangelistic Bangra band down in Southampton.
Really?
I don't know if they still exist, but they did. They did an event at our mission when I was at university. So that's a long time ago. But they were awesome.
Yeah, I think that fusion of East and West sound together can be really powerful and really pretty, both for the West, but also for the East, you know, speaks across all, both cultures, really.
All right, thanks for that. I mean, genuinely thrilling. It quickens your hearts, doesn't it? Gets the blood pumping. It's fantastic. I've got questions about the geography, really, because I don't know West London well, and it's just striking just looking at the map. And I mean, I was really struck by the video, the first video, the apparent gentrification of Hounslow, and just looking at the transport links with both amazing train and the Piccadilly line. I just wondered whether the sort of the South Asian integrity of Hounslow is going to be weakened by young professional gentrification. And so I was surprised to hear you say that the high street was full of 99p stores. From the stuff you showed us with all those new properties, I was thinking, oh my life, this is quite high end, but I've got that wrong.
Well, it would seem that you got it right, but here's what's happened, right? This is bizarre to me. It's been bought, all those flats have been bought up by IT companies, and they house them and fill them with IT workers. So
they've all come from India.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So some of the shops are, that I think I'm staying from, some there will be some high end stuff, but the main historic high street is just 99p. You know, what that looks like, you know, all those sort of shops. Starbucks failed. I'm not sure why Starbucks failed. Those things just come and go.
How's your cricket as an American?
I just don't understand.
when you mentioned football, your son playing football early, you meant soccer, didn't you? Is that right?
I did mean soccer. Yeah. You guys will be proud. I do say American football. Yes. So I've converted. It's to me, football is soccer, and American football is what I used to call football. I still do it. I'm still on, but honestly, cricket and rugby, I don't know what's happening. My son played 1 year for rugby on the rugby side of the school, and I was absolutely lost.
I mean, Twickenham is a stone's throw from Hounslow, isn't it? That's the first thing. But also the cricket thing. I can help you there. We'll put it on commission expenses, and I'll just take it to the Oval every week. And it seems to me on the geography as well, the A4 and the A316 are pretty clearly, it defines Hounslow, doesn't it? It's neither north of there nor south of there, which is quite helpful in terms of where you're going to have to work.
Yeah, that's right, Perk. So A316, as soon as you cross that, you're into Twickenham and Teddington.
Yeah.
You know, there's a commission church in Teddington, and that's light years away from where we are. But yeah, it's only 2 miles away. Do you know? So I want to get to know those guys and do stuff with them. But yeah, it's a very different feel. But north of the A4. Then you go right into Southall, and that's all Asian, and it just stays Asian all the way up, all the way up to Harrow.
Wow. Yeah.
Great. Any other sort of questions from anyone? I'm just thinking we could go into kind of twos and threes in breakout rooms to pray. Would that be good use of time now? It'd be good to pray, as you were saying, for location, whether it's that you replace Starbucks, which would be quite exciting, or wherever that would be. But yeah, particularly that Jesus would build that church and bring fruit from all those conversations and evangelistic endeavors and events. But thank you, Barry. We really appreciate you being with us. You're an absolute joy and encouragement to us, and it's just been tremendous having you with us. We praise, thank God for your ministry. But let's go into groups. And then I guess,